Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use the promo code DNVR25. You'll save 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me for this one is the voice of the Colorado Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet and the host of the Drew Goodman podcast. It's Drew Goodman.
What's happening, Drew? How are you, man?
Doing well. One of the few times all year that I am relieved to say that I was not on the road covering the Colorado Rockies and stuck in what looked like not a fun time in Atlanta. Like, once you get to the, you know, we get the best of it, too. It's not like we're out there once we're covering games up in the press box or, you know, you guys are in the booth, but woof. that was
a long one the other night. Was a long one and amid raindrops. And you know, usually when we're down in Atlanta, and obviously we're not traveling this year, virtually no one is in baseball, but normally when you're in those Midwestern or Southeastern cities, you go back after the game, you know, like to have a cold one, and then you got to shower again because it's, you know, so hot and muggy and sticky. And
right.
But last night was that field. It's funny. I was thinking, as you know, I coach high school baseball, and I'm like, we wouldn't have played on that field. That field was like unplayable the last half of the game. And you know, today was the reason the game was postponed, because not that the rain was heavy. It really wasn't. They could have. It was the same thing as yesterday. They could have played through that. It's just the field was not playable. The dirt in the infield was not playable.
I mean, I'd never seen it like that. And obviously, you know, it was well explained by everyone involved that, you know, they're trying to get it in, and they, you know, they don't want to have to make an extra road trip out of it. But I'd never seen it quite like that. Got a hero among us. DNVR All-Star NY2NJ saying, I was in that rain, went to both games. It was a good one. Hella soaked yesterday. Did you stay for – you went, wow. I mean, that's hardcore.
That is hardcore. And some of the shots we showed late in the game, there was a family of Rockies fans. Did you see that one? The game was 4 hours and 16 minutes. And, you know, there were two younger kids. And I don't know if they were on – vacation or if they live in the Atlanta area and they're Rockies fans, but either way, I can't imagine those kids going to school the very next morning. Listen, man, they're having a good road trip, and it had to be bad going back to the field conditions. It had to be really bad for them to wait a couple hours today and then bang it, because there's no mutual date. So basically the Rockies will only play 161 games. The only way that game's getting played is if Philadelphia is in a dead heat with Atlanta
right after
that Sunday. And then the Rockies would have to fly down to Atlanta and play one game against the Braves.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be one of those weird ones we're going to have to look back on and explain how this happened. Yeah, I didn't get home till 2 a.m. Work at 8. Lovely. That's yeah, but as you mentioned, wins for the Rockies. And if it's not made up, then I was actually going to do this anyway. I'm calling it a sweep or a road series sweep for the Rockies this year. Sure, it's just two games, but technically and legitimately, the back-to-back road series wins against contending teams, and you guys talked about it on the broadcast. You talked about it with Garrett Hampson on your recent episode of the Drew Goodman podcast about the way the team has been playing better, and him saying, "Yeah, we do revel in the fact that we're playing some good teams, and we're getting the better of them." And you know, these were close games against an Atlanta team that, yeah, they've got a little bit of a cushion, but they're not mailing anything in at this point. The Rockies went out there and got them, even in the mess. It's been incredible to see the turnaround, considering they were on pace for some historically bad road win totals early in the year.
Yeah, I'm big on measuring progress and wins. And they're winning games. It's not, hey, we're playing guys tough. I mean, that was kind of – you know, some of what you heard a little bit earlier in the year, we're in games. Well, you know, it's baseball. I mean, typically you're not going to get beat 37-0 in baseball, right?
Right.
And now they're winning games, and they're winning games away from home, and they're winning games against contending teams. You know, they won 2 of 3 at Dodger Stadium last time they were out there. The aforementioned series on this trip that you were making mention of. So yeah, they're playing better. There's no denying that. I think over the last 90 something, I had it written down today, Drew, forgive me for forgetting it, but over the last 90, 95 games, the Rockies, I think, are 4, 5, 6 games over 500, somewhere in that neighborhood. Not a huge amount, but they're over 500.
Yeah.
And that's a large body of work. Again, that's not, hey, they had a good 2-week period and they went 9-5. You know, that sort of thing.
Right. I'd been kind of keeping it up since, I think, May 18th or May 28th. I'd have to look at it again. It was basically the date that they turned it around. They had a 15-29 start to the season. And that's where most of the being under 500 comes from. Since then, they've been an over 500 ball club.
It's 4 games over then, because they're 10 games under right now. Yeah,
there it is. So yeah, they're 4 games over. And I saw a stat today that I think since that date, the Rockies are 4 games over 500. The Padres are 5 games under. And look, I was all on board. I was excited about that team too, but I'm always a little bit leery whenever a team is declared kind of a dynasty before they've even played a little bit. And you know, it's going to be interesting to see where it goes with that one. I know they've caught some bad health luck, but it's just another reminder that until you start playing the baseball games, a lot of times we really don't know. We thought that was, the Giants are doing what we thought the Padres were going to be doing.
I'm going to go Shakespearean on you for a moment. Beware the Ides of March, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Beware of those teams that win the winter months, right?
Yeah.
And the Padres won the offseason with the moves they made. The Mets were a team that did well, right, in the offseason. The Mets, you know, are close to dead in the water, and the Padres are fighting and scratching. And if the season ended today, they'd be on the outside looking in. And their goal was to win the division. They're so far away from San Francisco and L.A., you know, they'd have to catch a long plane flight to get in the same area code.
Right. Yeah. Well, off-season champs, 6 consecutive years. And trade deadline champions are another one that, you know, the big winners at the trade deadline. And it's like, now it's a little bit different this year because I do think, and I said at the time that I thought the big winners, there's all this stuff. And I was like, the big winners at the trade deadline were the freaking Dodgers. It was the freaking Dodgers again. It's always the freaking Dodgers. They were already the best team in baseball. And then they added an MVP candidate and a Cy Young candidate. and now they're probably going to win the World Series. And I'm very frustrated by it, but still, you know, a lot was made about, you know, these other teams and all the stuff that was made. And it's still, everyone's still chasing the Dodgers.
Yeah. You know what? I want to say something, you know, or just kind of react to one of the things you said a moment ago, Drew. I personally, and I get your frustration and a lot of fans out here and everywhere, their frustration with the Dodgers. They have deep pockets. But in this particular instance, they utilized their draft and minor league capital to get that deal done. It wasn't like, oh, okay, they just outspend everybody. spend everybody, and that's how they were able to acquire, you know, the future Hall of Famer Scherzer and one of the game's great players right now, Trey Turner. They just had a greater package, more alluring package that they were willing to part with than any other contending team. And the next contending team for their services were the Padres.
Right.
And Mike Rizzo could give a shit about where he's trading them. Once he made the decision that he wanted to, you know, he wants to maximize what he gets back. He's worried about taking care of the Nationals. And obviously, you know, getting Ruiz back, the young catcher, who's one of the top prospects in baseball, and a really good arm, was more alluring than whatever the Padres were offering. But that had nothing to do with money. I get the frustration. Right. It has to do with money.
Well, right. And it's just, continuing to look over and go, man, those guys don't miss, especially, you know, as of late and under their new ownership. But, yeah, it's hard to hate them just for being that good. Well, it's not that hard, actually, come to think of it. But, no, I'm 100% agree. But, you know, it's, again, we look at it back on, you know, the Rockies. And this is part of it. So we get into the reasons they've been better. And you've got FNL Aviator here in the comments talking about hope for next season. Have the pitching. The pitching has really proved themselves. The starting pitching, of course, you're talking about here. Joe emerging. So along with a better pen, starting to feel a lot better. And we weren't getting these kinds of comments earlier in the season where it really did feel like, you know, the sky was falling for a lot of people. So I think, you know, and Patrick and I talked about this too, the kind of, you know, he was saying, is there the best of both worlds for maybe the Rockies have one tough season, they get a great draft pick or whatever, and they roll around next season. I was going, probably not, because if they get better, if the players who need to get better, Brandon Rogers, Ryan Maltapia, Ryan McMahon, cementing themselves, a lot of guys out in that bullpen, if they get better, Rockies are going to win more baseball games. And I feel like that's exactly what we're witnessing right now. Elias Diaz, probably the biggest example of someone who got better, you know, as the course of the season has gone. Garrett Hampson, who you had on your show recently. And it's because of the work of these guys that the Rockies are suddenly capable on the road. And that's why people are going, oh, maybe there is a core here to build upon for the future.
Yeah, and they've won one-run games, right? And one-run games are fickle. I think a greater way to evaluate a team's I don't want to say greatness, but, you know, depth and truly how good they are is how often are they winning, you know, 4+ run games. That's one of the thoughts out there in among, you know, the baseball the folks that crunch numbers, if you will, for lack of a better way of putting it. But anyhow, the Rockies win some one-run games. And one of the reasons is, you know, their bullpen has gotten better. To your point, Drew, Tyler Kinley's a lot better than he was. Yeah. We've watched Lucas Gilbreth become a guy that's kind of being trusted on the plus side now. And he was in A-ball a year ago. He's one of the better stories with the Rockies. I think it's 13 or 14 straight appearances without allowing a run. Kinley's allowed just 3 runs over his last 17 innings, I think with 24 strikeouts in those 17 innings. Those two guys have really pitched better. From where Carlos Estevez was, and I know it's sometimes it's a roller coaster ride as so many ninth inning guys are.
Sure.
But from where Carlos was in spring training and in April, he's made vast improvements. So, you know, they're definitely signs. You know, when you talk about that wagon of guys that have improved a lot, number one, and we talk about this with Garrett Hampson, is Elias Diaz. Yeah. I was looking today, Drew, and again, you're always, you know, looking back and seeing where guys were and how they've evolved. But he was, I want to say, I had the note written earlier, toward the end of May, it may have been at the very end of May, he was slugging below 200.
Yeah.
And now look where he is.
He had an OPS of 323 at its lowest about a month and a half, almost 2 months into the season. And he hit his first home run. I wrote an article about this. He hit his first home run on a night in New York against the Mets. And it was like a 1-for-4 performance. And then the next night he went 0-for, and nobody thought, oh man, he's turned it around or anything. But he had that. You look at since that one home run, what he has done. And since that date, his OPS has been over 800. Now total, I think it's where is he at on the 766. But since he's hit that home run, he's been steadily over an 800 OPS guy. And his OPS was 323 on that day, entering that day. I don't believe I've ever seen a more extreme turnaround in season from a Colorado Rockies player.
And a believable one, Drew. Not, again, a small sample size where, okay, a guy was doing poorly and he had a good couple of weeks and we're not sure who he is really. Is he, you know, somewhere between those two guys? Or in the case of Elias, and in talking to coaches, talking to Buddy, this is believable that this is going to stick. And we'll see over a full season when he's the number one. You know, hopefully, I know the Rockies obviously want to keep him based on what he's done. You know, sure. Is in a full season, is he really a 15-18 homer guy, which is fine with the defense he's playing, or is he actually, you know, has a chance to be a 25 home run catcher? And we're talking about him as one of the, you know, top offensive catchers in baseball.
Right.
I don't know. I think he can really be an impactful guy. And I know for so many years, it was like, do you remember the old Raycom games in football where it's like, due to time constraints, right, we move to later action in the football game, right?
Yeah.
Well, for a lot of years, Drew, there were times the bottom of the order you wanted to say, you wanted that loud voice to come on the speaker and say, due to the inability of the next three hitters to likely get a hit, we're going to move to later action for the Rockies, right?
Yeah.
And now if you have a guy like Diaz, even I'll throw Ryan McMahon in there, and that's not to, you know, really to take a shot at Ryan. It's more to look at the Rockies and say if they can make a couple of key acquisitions in the outfield, most notably, and you have a DH, if you have guys like McMahon hitting seventh, some days sixth maybe, Diaz hitting seventh, even eighth, that's a pretty deep lineup.
Yeah. Yeah, all of a sudden, it's amazing. You're right. They've got to make those acquisitions still. But,
right.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Diaz, the guy. I went back and was looking through some numbers. The only thing I could think of that compared to it was that season. I don't have it right in front of me. I think it was 14, where Carlos Gonzalez, and it's not directly comparable because Cargo got off to a fine start. He just wasn't hitting a ton of home runs. But he was hitting like 260 and a bunch of doubles for the first month or two of the season, and he was sitting on, you know where I'm going with this, you remember, and he had like 8 home runs entering late May, and he ended the season with over 40. Yeah. He went absolutely insane. But again, Elias Diaz was arguably, and not to, look, it's in the past now, hopefully he's, you know, time plus what, tragedy equals comedy, we'll see how far away from it he is. He was arguably the worst hitter in baseball for the first 2 months of the season, Elias Diaz. And Cargo wasn't that. You know, he was still – it's just the way he broke out was so extreme. But to go from one of the worst hitters in the game to, as you accurately put it, one of the better hitting catchers in the game, absolutely remarkable.
Yeah. And his defense, his energy has been great. He had a throw the other day. We're going to show this on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Again, on Friday. We're going to show it today. When he threw out,
it was
Albies. Yeah, for his third time this year that Albies been thrown out. That pop time, and we timed it, me and Jeff Houston timed it 6 different times individually. And we agreed that the median of what we timed, glove to glove, was 178. That's in game. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The average pop time in game in Major League Baseball is 2.01. Now, if you're in a controlled environment and you're just working on pop times, a lot of guys are going to go sub 1.9, 1.8 something. You know, controlled environment.
Yeah.
You know, at a showcase, I can find, you know, upper level high school, you know, prospects that are going to be able to do that. But to do it in game, 178, That's
the ball that was like at his back knee. It wasn't even like the perfect pitch to throw on. That was incredible.
So his transition is great, glove to hand, and he has a cannon. And the other element of it, when we talk about pop times, that I always like to point out, if you're the middle infielder and you catch the ball up here, well, that's great. Now I got to bring the ball all the way down here, and that's another couple of tenths of a second. So, yeah, glove to glove, it may have been a 185. Wonderful. Great arm strength, great transition. But the ball wasn't where it needed to be.
Right.
More often than not, that 128-foot throw from Elias Diaz is knee-high on the second base side of the bag,
yeah.
Right where it needs to be. And that throw to get Albies was perfect. That truly was a perfect throw.
Yeah, absolutely incredible stuff. Hey, speaking of perfect, you know your Breck Brews are perfect. You know your membership to DNVR is perfect. Those two things go together, actually. You can get a bigger beer down at the DNVR bar when you're a member of the family. Subscribe today at thednvr.com. You get access to all the written content. You get discounts on hats and shirts. You get access to our Discord channel. It's just a private chat room where we're constantly talking baseball, talking about all the other sports, movies, TV, whatever's going on out there in the world, talking with each other. We're a great, big, happy family in the DNVR chat room Discord channel. So come hang out with us. Do subscribe today at thednvr.com. We'll hook you up with all kinds of great stuff, including our sponsors like the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You know them. You love them. You got to check out our DNVR Bets program, especially now that football season is back. They'll get you hooked up with all kinds of fantastic recommendations on overs and unders and, you know, the lingo. I'm big into the home run bet in baseball, just taking a guy each night to hit a home run that always pays out big if it hits. And if it doesn't, you've laid down $5 to make 4 at-bats a game way more exciting. It's an easy win even if you don't win. But I do oftentimes end up hitting, and that's a lot of fun too. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR to receive $200 in free bets when you place $1 on any football game. You don't need them to do anything. Just put a dollar down on any football game. Use promo code DNVR, and you will get $200 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Speaking of betting odds, Goody, there was one other thing from that game last night that, as most people would probably guess, this being a, I guess you could call it a pet peeve issue of mine, or I'll call it a particular area of interest. But the Colorado Rockies won or scored the game-winning run in the ball game last night because two guys were able to put the ball in play. And I was thinking about it more and more because somebody threw, again, for members in our Discord channel, somebody had put in there that this is maybe 4 or 5 days ago that Joey Gallo had just recorded the second sacrifice fly of his career.
Are you kidding me?
We all did. Patrick and I went and double. That's one of those things you go to the FanGraphs page and double check. And we went, no, that can't possibly be true. And it is.
And I'm not trying. I don't want this to come across wrong. And I'm not trying to beat up Joey Gallo. But I've never seen what people are enamored with. Yeah, he'll hit some home runs, but the strikeout rate is ridiculous. And yeah, he'll walk some. And so they say, well, the on-base percentage isn't bad, and he hits home runs. There's too many empty at-bats. Two sacrifice flies for a guy who bats in the middle of the order and tries to lift everything anyhow? That I cannot believe that. If you told me that just in private, I said, Drew, you must have missed – you must have, you know, right, seen the stat wrong. You
don't
know,
go on air and say that.
Yeah, that can't be right, Drew. Double-check that one. Are you kidding me?
Absolutely, absolutely wild, right? And so the ball game last night, you know, it gets to extras. So you've got an auto guy on second base, right? Nunez rolls one to the right side, moves the guy over. The second they announced Raimel Tapia, I knew the Rockies were going to score a run. This is my other stat that I was double checking. On the flip side of it, that was Raimel Tapia's 15th at bat this season with a runner at third, less than two outs.
I saw your tweet, man.
And it was his 15th RBI.
Yeah, it's great. The thing he does really well is get the ball in play. He hits the ball on the ground more than anybody else in baseball. So I don't want to say criticism, because he is who he is, and I love the passion he plays with. I love the energy he plays with. I love the fact, Drew, let's add something else. That game, when he got that base hit, the game's 4 hours old. He's been sitting in a damp dugout for, you know, 4+ hours, not playing, and then he gets tapped on the shoulder. Hey, there's the, you know, go-ahead run. You got to go drive him in. And that's not easy. So I really admire Raimel. For me, he has to be a center fielder for his value to be, you know, it depends what team you're on. But for the Rockies, he needs to be a center fielder, because you can't have a corner outfielder, really a left fielder, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Not hit the ball over the wall, not be a slug guy. It's got to be a home run doubles guy.
Yeah.
And so that's where I love Raimel. I love so many things about him, but he has to play in the middle, and you don't know if it could work over the long term defensively for him to be, you know, a huge asset for the Rockies.
Or even if he's, you know, like we talked about, and I agree, we've talked about this before. I've got my eyes already on a couple of outfielders in the free agency.
Who you got, man? Who you got? Tell me who you got.
I want Starling Marte and Mark Canna. Now, Marte might have priced himself out. He's playing almost too good, and I think he's going to get a big contract now. But he's older, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, he's a little older. He's had a fabulous year, obviously. Mark Canna's a free agent?
I believe that's correct. Now, there might be like an option situation there that I need to double check.
I like Mark Canna.
I like the idea of Mark Canna a lot.
You like Kyle Schwarber?
I don't hate it, but again, I think you got to be careful. Now, I got to double check the defense situation with him in the outfield. Is it better? Because
he's not a great defender.
And I worry about that here, you know, more than anywhere else. It's the payoff. You know, some guys you can do it with, but that's a big outfield to be bad in. And it costs your pitchers. And I think that's the hardest thing. It's not even necessary. It's what it does to your pitching staff over the course of a long season.
Listen, you may be right, but you know, there's that old adage, drive in more than you let in.
He knows how to drive them in. I'll tell you that much.
Great. He knows how to drive them in. He's a great teammate. You know,
can catch in a pinch.
Affordable. There's a lot of guys that fall into that affordable category.
Yeah.
And listen, the guy you mentioned initially, Starling Marte, who's played in the division, because I think he's 31, right? 31, 32?
He was even older than I thought, and that's why I paid him a little more attention, because I thought, well, maybe the Rockies can nab this guy so he's 32 now, so he'll be going into his age 33 season. So you offer him a multi-year deal, but he's not going to get top dollar like some of these other guys.
What's he making this year, Drew?
Bring up the contract, because
it could be. I mean, is it 3x15, and you're in the ballpark? Because I think so. They need to bring in. I keep saying this. I said this to you on your show with Patrick. I think I've said it on my show that you need to bring in the Michael Kadir, Justin Morneau equivalent in 2022. Right. Yeah. I'm not saying position by position, but that kind of guy, the 30 something guy that's not going to break the bank, but still can be really productive, as Kadir was with the Rockies, won a batting title, Morneau won a batting title, and is great in the clubhouse, you know, solid defensively. And, you know, is it 3x15 for guys like that? You know, is it 2x, you know, 15, 2x? Well, so that's why I look at the guy you mentioned, Marte. I look at Chris Taylor of the Dodgers. I look at Kyle Schwarber. There's some names out there that I think make you better without feeling like you know, you have to mortgage, the future in terms of any other moves you're going to make.
Yeah. Marte making 12.5 this year. So if you gave him, you know, two or three, like you said, 15, that's more money per year he's ever made in his life. And then he's doing it in his 30s at that point, and you're hoping that he ages well and it doesn't break the bank. It's not something you're tied to. And Mark Canha is an unrestricted free agent in 22.
What's his in 20, like after this
going
year?
Going into, no. So yeah, this is the last year of his deal. He's making 6.9.
What's he do? What's he? Give me his numbers this year, because no one ever pays attention to Oakland unless they're in your ballpark, and you go, who are these guys? Other than, you know, Chapman, people know.
Yeah.
You know, people. Other than that, you know, people are like, wait, who are these guys? What's Canha done this year?
So, batting average isn't great at .239, but on basing super well at .363. You love that. Great.
Yep.
The slugging at .414 with 17 homers. So the OPS plus has him at .119 as a park adjusted hitter above the average. Strikeouts a little high, 113 strikeouts.
He can run a little bit. He can play center, I know.
That's the other thing too, is that he's a valuable defender. And that's why I eye these guys like Canha and Marte, because neither one of them are superstars at any one level of the game, but they don't cost you defensively. They can run, they can field, they can hit. And I think you can afford them in this market. So those are the kind of guys that I like for sure.
And he comes from a winning background.
Yeah. Like that a lot too. Canha's somebody that actually the Rockies had in their organization once upon a time forever. Didn't he get Rule 5'd out of their system? Or he was a
something like that. I want to say, isn't he a Cal guy?
Yeah, that sounds right. I just
maybe a Berkeley guy. And you wonder, you know, he's
University kind of California. Yeah,
yeah, he's kind of an affordable guy, so maybe he stays, in Oakland. But,
sure, but yeah, it's the fascinating type, because these other types. I was back to the other conversation, because with Joey Gallo, like, he's leading the league in strikeouts, but at least he's also leading the league in walks. Javier Baez, not so much. Javier Baez is leading the National League in strikeouts with 167, but he's only walked 24 times.
Javi Baez for me goes in under the all overrated category.
Yeah.
Great athlete, can make wonderful plays, can hit balls over the center field wall that are no doubters. And then, you know, you watch a week where he, you know, strikes out 20 times in the week and, you know, botches a routine play in the infield. So, right. You know, exciting player, but the name is bigger than the output.
Yeah, that's an interesting one to see, you know, what are these guys going to get in this big offseason coming up? And everyone thought, oh, my gosh, all these shortstops, they're all going to break the bank. And Francisco Lindor went first.
And you want to know what? All the other shortstops are pissed at him, I bet, because I think he's made a lot of front offices push the pause button.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? Some of these deals are crazy.
Yeah. And none of these guys are having absolutely, you know, phenomenal years, as we know.
Lindor's had to get hot to hit 230. I mean, I don't even know if he's at 230. He's playing high 220s. He hit three homers in a game the other day. I get it. But, again, another team that won the offseason that's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, if you want to be going somewhere, especially in work, if you're looking for a job, you got to check out our friends at Ball. You know Ball Corporation. They got the naming rights over where the Avs and Nuggets play. They're doing fantastic work taking care of the environment while producing their aluminum, their jars, their glass, everything they got there. And they're looking for people to work out at their aluminum plant here in Golden. So if you want to be a part of something that's great in terms of environmental ratings, sustainable materials, being a steward of the community, or and if you're caring about how they treat everyone around them. Well, the Human Rights Campaign has given them a corporate equality index score of 100%. It doesn't get any better than that, which essentially means that everyone who works there gets treated fairly, fair hiring practices. If you work your ass off and deserve a promotion, you'll get that promotion, and it won't go to somebody else just because they're friends with the boss or because of how they look or what they believe or any of those kinds of things. They are absolutely baller at all of that stuff. So check them out. Text GOLDEN to 77222. You'll get links to open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN. That's jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN, or simply text GOLDEN to 77222. And also don't forget to put in your order of Hassle Cattle Company Wagyu beef. I got mine on the way. Very excited about it this time. Got a couple extra steaks. Usually I just load up on ground beef and ground chuck. Got some burgers, got some bacon on the way. They have every kind of beef you can think of. And it's really is, you shouldn't buy beef at the grocery store. It's not cheaper. It's not better. It's pumped full of hormones and antibiotics. It's really bad for the animal. It's bad for the environment. And then it gets into your body and it's bad for you. You don't want any of that stuff. You can avoid all of that and spend less money and get better tasting beef. There's literally no downside to ordering from Hassle Cattle Company. It's HASSELLCattlecompany.com. Don't forget to use the promo code DNVR10. You'll save 10% off every single time you order. And if you order over $200, they'll hook you up with free shipping. I'm not joking when I say since these guys become a sponsor at DNVR, I've stopped buying beef at the grocery store. I absolutely love them. Got 100% positive feedback on the stuff. Sometimes people share it with me. They'll cook stuff and hit me with pictures on Twitter. I love it. So check them out. Really good stuff. Will throws in that Gallo is also hitting a brisk 199 this year, but it's got that OPS plus, you know. You hit enough home runs and those advanced metrics like you, but two sacrifice flies in his career?
Yeah, that's too many empty at bats for me to watch.
I can't have it. I can't have it. Hey, let's talk a little bit about some of the fun stuff that's been going on with the Rockies before we get out of here with you. I wanted to get your thoughts on, obviously, you've been sharing them on the broadcast, getting to see it, but Colton Welker, the first several days in the major league career, this has been a lot of fun. What are you seeing?
Well, I think he's taken, for the most part, pretty good at bats. He doesn't seem to be overmatched. That's one of the first things you look at. Is the game too fast for him? Is it too big for him? Is he being dominated at the plate? Not at all. I mean, he had that ball game where he drove in Trevor with two outs after Story had a leadoff double and the two guys in front of him couldn't get it done. That was a big hit. And then later in the game, in the ninth, with nothing going on, two outs, he throws out a hit to left that set the stage for Ryan McMahon, putting the Rockies in front of Philadelphia, the home run against Ian Kennedy. So there's been a lot to like so far. He made a really nice play at first base when Trevor's throw took him off the bag. And, you know, he's not as familiar with first base. And he kind of made the pirouette tag coming off down the line to make that play. So I've been encouraged by what I've seen so far. Small sample size, but yeah.
Yeah, same. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and he's definitely the guy I'm kind of honing in on the most right here in this last little bit. Though I will say, when I first heard the name Ryan Feltner, I'll admit I was kind of going, wait, okay, I know I've heard that name before, but not who I was thinking would necessarily get the call. And now I'm going to the FanGraphs page, I'm checking the numbers, which are pretty damn good, and then he comes out and he gets shelled, and it happens. It happens to wise, aged veterans. It happens, but still, it's tough when it's your first outing. Second outing, though, and again, the box score not that great, but that was a big improvement, I thought.
I agree with you, Drew. I think it was a really nice step. He'll always be able to tell. Hopefully, he has a great career, right? But he'll always be able to tell his children and grandchildren, that whole line, that the first pitch he threw in a major league game got hit for a home run by, pretty famous guy, Ozzie Albies.
Yeah.
I thought he was much better, to your observation, the second time. He struck out six. You saw kind of a little swing and miss slider. The fastball is not a high 90s fastball, but he located better. Now, granted, he didn't go out and throw six or seven innings. It was, I think, less than four. But it was clearly, if you're watching every pitch as you and I do, it was much, much better. And Buddy, said so after. And it wasn't kind of faint praise trying to build up a young pitcher. You definitely saw progress, which is great, because just like Welker didn't seem overmatched at the plate after that rough first one, you want to see Feltner go out and go, you know what? Let me add him. I can compete. And I think you saw some of that also with Feltner.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of these stats that have kind of gone out of style in certain ways, like the quality start or the blown save, because I feel like they give you a certain amount of information, but they don't give you all the information right. I've always felt the solution to that problem was we just need more categories of these things. I think you could categorize a lot of different starts. Like there's the quality start, which, you know, six innings, three runs less, whatever. You can go the next. If you're going 7-2, that's, you know, the really good, whatever. You got to come up with better names for it or whatever, right?
I heard you guys talking about that the other day.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he had a
high quality start. And I think when you were talking about it on your podcast the other day, I think, you know, Patrick jumped to, you know, eight innings. Well, eight innings now is so unusual. That's like elite, elite. But yeah. I'm with you, Drew. There should be something that is six plus, two runs or less.
Yeah.
Hey, 6 2/3, two runs. That's an, same thing. I'm running the same problem you do. But instead of a quality, a high quality start.
I like that.
And then elite quality is, you know, eight innings plus of two runs or less.
Yeah. And then I think on the flip side, and again, I think about this with closers, because there's a difference between blowing the save when you're up a run and you give up one run, but no more, and you finish the inning and you walk off and your team still has a chance to get to win the ball game. And the totally blown save is when you're up by three and you leave the inning down by two, right? Those are very different things, even though they both go as a blown save.
Yeah, well, I have a problem with you can't get a save in the seventh inning, but you can get a blown save, so that doesn't make any
right.
sense.
That one's always weird.
But to your point, though, in the ninth, if you have a lead and you don't protect it, I have no issue with the blown save. If you're in the ninth and you give up, you know, half a dozen runs, that's just called a CP. Crapola performance.
You don't crapola.
More diplomatic, the FP, a forgettable performance.
Right.
We all have many of those.
So back to the Felt, and that's why Ryan Feltner went from a CP in his first game to a kept him in it. He got a kept him in it. Didn't lose the ball game all by himself. And great pitch. I said this on the show. You heard the conversation. But Herman Marquez, two or three times this year, would have a CP come out, and he's given up seven earned runs in the first two innings. And Buddy's had to go, man, really? I got to come get the ball from my all-star now? But it happens. It's baseball. So to have a keep him in it in your second start right after a CP – I love it. We're creating entirely new terminology here. This is fantastic.
That's okay. Every year there's new terminology in baseball, and there's new stats and new analytics. So we can do that as well.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Coming up here. Well, now, no, what is coming up here? All right. Off to Washington. It is. And in general here for this stretch, what are you looking forward to keeping your eye on as the Colorado Rockies continue down the final stretch of baseball here?
Well, Drew, I'll steal a line from what I said on my podcast this week with Garrett Hampson. I did a lot on football, a little bit on the Bronco game, on the Buffs, and a tiny little bit on Colorado State. But, you know, I liked Carl Durrell after the game. Progress is winning. And, you know, a lot of people were patting the Buffs on the back because they played the number five team in the country, you know, tight. They lose by a field goal to Texas A&M. And Carl Durrell didn't want any of that. Nobody looks back on a season and says, hey, remember that 14 team that went 4-8? But, man, they lost by less than a touchdown to four teams, including two ranked teams. who cares?
Right.
you remember the Buffs when they won a national championship. You remember teams that went, they go 10-2 and go to a nice bowl game. Those, not the teams that were pretty close but ended up losing in the end. So stealing that thought, you want more of what you've been witnessing with the Rockies. They're winning more than they're losing. They're having a very good road trip. Continue to do that, because this, you know, this is the quote unquote easier portion of the road trip. Now, we remember the last lengthy road trip, Chicago against the Cubs, lose 2 of 3, Arizona lose 2 of 3, take 2 of 3 against the toughest team by far, the Dodgers. So if you're going to Washington, it'll be fun to see Juan Soto, naturally.
Yes.
But hopefully they can, you know, win 2 out of 3 there at minimum, and then come home. And that's going to be a fascinating homestand, Drew. I know we'll get into that, you know, next week, but that's going to be fascinating with the Dodgers and Giants both coming. And they're, as of play going into tonight, a game and a half separate the Dodgers from the Giants, and they may be the two best teams in baseball. So it's going to be a fun final 2.5 weeks for the Rockies, and win more than you lose. Keep doing what you've been doing and keep competing and winning games against some of the better teams in the league.
That was my other stat. I don't know if you saw that one the other day, and I can't remember exactly what it is, but I think it was 9-25 the Rockies are against the Dodgers and Giants. And against everybody else.
Listen, you can improve on that.
Against everybody else, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they go 3-3, if they go 3-3 at home against the Dodgers and Giants right now, you'd say, hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Because they're not giving any games away. I mean, every game for the Dodgers and Giants at Coors Field is going to be a playoff game for the respective teams, man. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be so much fun. I love watching those games. And we know these Rockies aren't backing down from anything. They got a lot of guys out there with a lot to prove. So I'm excited for this. This is going to be some good baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be some great baseball. I'm looking forward to it as well.
We'll be watching, of course, along with your broadcast on AT&T Sportsnet. Now that this podcast is over, everyone should go and listen to the Drew Goodman podcast. It's right on whatever app you're listening to. Wherever you're listening to it, just go to that little search thing. Type in the Drew Goodman podcast. It pops right up. Download every episode of the stuff. Garrett Hampson's fantastic, by the way. We plugged some of the conversation. You should go and listen to it. But he's one of those guys that I'm really glad is playing well from a media standpoint, because he is one of those guys who can really just have a conversation, and he's not, you know, we know some athletes aren't always the most comfortable talking, even if you can get them to be great. But with Garrett, you really don't have to work that hard. He's a really smart, really present, really cerebral, funny, just good guy.
He's a good dude. I mean, sum it up, he's a good dude. And there's a lot of, as you know, Drew, because you're there, there's really a lot of good guys in that clubhouse, and so to be able to bring guys and give fans a little more opportunity to really get to know folks like a Garrett Hampson, I think that it makes it easier to root for your team when you go to the ballpark or you're watching at home in the evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that stuff. So, again, don't forget to download the Drew Goodman podcast. Don't forget to follow everyone on social media, at Drew Kreisman, at Drew Goodman 42, at Patrick D. Lyons, at DNVR_Rockies, all that stuff. Subscribe to the DNVR.com for all the written content, all the stuff that I said earlier. You were listening. I trust you. And just continue to be absolutely awesome baseball fans out there. We promise to continue being absolutely Drew Kreisman and Drew Goodman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.